Hey, everybody. It's Darren.
Hi, it's Justin.
Yeah, so we're gonna do something a little bit different today.
I like the disdain in your voice. It's like, and I'm Justin. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Let's just get started. All right, well, welcome to the Week 3 podcast, otherwise known as the We Couldn't Come Up With a Better Title.
Well, it's actually very descriptive. It's the podcast that comes out the third week of the month.
Yeah, presented by the Geek Cave podcast, home of many more creative ideas than this one. And we just wanted to, you know, Justin was mentioning to me that, you know, you've got Watch What with Chad. And I do TLDRs and gaming chats with Chad from time to time. But you and I don't have a podcast for just the two of us.
Yeah, I miss you.
I'm right here.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just seemed natural. It's like, okay, well, I do this extra thing with Chad. Well, why can't I do an extra thing with Darren?
Yeah, so for those of you who have been demanding it, all two of you beating down our doors, congratulations. You're getting it. And this one's going to be a little bit of a different format, a little bit of housekeeping. Pretty much anything goes. We're just going to be talking about random subjects, pulling them right out of a hat. And this month, oh, look at that. We're both wearing Superman shirts. Well, let's talk about one of the Superman animated shows, shall we?
Oh, yeah. I love Superman the Animated Series.
Not that one.
Okay, the old Fleischer cartoons are a bit weird, but not bad.
Not that one.
You're not talking about Super Friends, are you?
No.
Technically, that's not a Superman cartoon. He's in it, but...
Yeah, no. This, I'm actually talking about the Ruby Spears Superman series. Do you remember this?
When was it on?
It was on for one season in 1988.
Oh, my God, yeah.
All right.
I have, like, the vaguest recollection of this.
Yeah, now, I've been a huge Superman fan all my life. I didn't know this existed until well after the fact. Like, when they announced it was coming out on DVD, I'm like, that's cool. What is that? So... I just to prep for today's recording, I went and I rewatched it because of course I bought it when
course.
I saw it.
Yeah,
of course. I mean that's just, it's the law. So this ran on CBS for one season back in 1988. It was one of those things that was done to kind of coincide the 50th anniversary of Superman.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
And it ran for just one season, but check out the team that is connected to this. Comic book artist Gil Kane, who did the post-Crisis on Infinite Earths design for Superman.
Yeah.
Marv Wolfman was the head story editor.
No shit.
We've got voice actor talent like Alan Oppenheimer and Tress McNeil connected to this.
Who did Oppenheimer play?
Oppenheimer and McNeil respectively played Jonathan and Martha Kent.
Okay, for those of you who don't know, I'm cackling because Alan Oppenheimer is the voice of Skeletor in the original He-Man series.
Is this true?
And Tress McNeil is best known. She's done a lot of great voice work, but the one that comes to mind all the time is Dot from Animaniacs.
Also Babs Bunny.
And Babs Bunny. Those are Superman's parents in this cartoon.
Yes. But, you know, this was kind of a weird time capsule of right when they were relaunching Superman. You know, you've got Lex Luthor, who's now a corrupt billionaire industrialist, who kind of, sort of seems almost like a used car salesman in his personality. I mean, he's clearly a genius. He's clearly evil. But he's such a smartass every time he's dealing with Superman. At one point, Superman just drops a tank right in the guy's swimming pool. It's like, because the tank was attacked in a museum. And Superman's like, Lex, I think this belongs to you. And just drops it in his pool. And Luthor's like, hey, Luthor literally, he says something along the lines of, hey, once it leaves my factory, I ain't responsible. And he does use the word ain't.
Responsible.
He even goes down the list of, like, if someone eats at Burger Barn and then robs a bank, is it Burger Barn's fault? You know, that kind of logic, which is
having
great.
Never eaten at Burger Barn, I cannot say.
Yeah, but there's even a spoof character for Miss Tessmacher from the Superman movies.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Morganberry.
Morganberry, okay.
Is a ditzy blonde who lives with Lex Luthor, and he fully shares his plans with her. But, you know, this show is a lot of fun. The art style, surprisingly, I think this came from the same animation house that did the Ninja Turtles cartoon.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. A lot of similarities in, like, the character design and how they move and how they interact with each other and that kind of thing.
Was the intro better than the cartoon itself?
It was actually close. Because it looked like, for the most part, they just pulled some of the stuff from the intro right from the episodes. There's a couple of sweeping shots that aren't anywhere in the show. Some of the character designs are a bit weird. I sent you a picture of General Zod earlier.
You did.
Yeah.
Please, please describe General Zod the way you described it to me.
Looks like Barney Fife crossed with a UPS driver.
Superman's greatest enemy in terms of equality and strength looks like Barney Fife crossed with a UPS.
Yeah. But, you know, this is like the first.
Now, Son of Jor-El, we got to nip this in the bud.
Oh, don't get me started on that episode, because we'll go there in a minute. See, we're trying to only do 15 to 20 minutes for these things, folks, but it might take a while to unpack that episode alone.
We can save it for a week three later.
Yeah. A week nine.
A week.
But this also has some features of Super Dickery. You know that meme where Superman's always screwing with people?
Yes.
There's one episode where Lex he's hired some actors to kind of, like, make the public think they don't need Superman because, like, and Lex has these robots and they're saving everyone. And so they straight up tell Superman, we don't need you. And then Superman quits. He straight up quits. He tells the Daily Planet, I'm done. They publish the paper and everything. And, you know, Lois is like, I can't believe he'd quit. Of course, he was lying to her.
Yes.
Just so he could find out what Lex's plan. Another one is when he fakes his own death. That was fun. Because he's fighting this monster that Zod sends over, gives Superman kryptonite poisoning. And they straight up do what they did in the Silver Age, where when he's close enough to kryptonite, he turns green.
Oh, shh.
Yeah. So they have this funeral and everything, and there's green-skinned Superman looking like a roided-out Kermit the Frog lying in the casket. And, you know, everyone's paying the respects.
I want to bask in that image for a moment. A roided-out Kermit the Frog and in a casket.
Yeah. And everyone's paying their respects. And, you know, Lex is even upset because, well, you know, it wasn't him that killed him, but it, like, the kryptonite that he gave the thing that allegedly killed Superman did it, so he gets partial credit.
it's a team effort.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yes. And Lois kisses him and then walks away, Superman, not Lex.
Yeah.
And walks away from the casket, and she's like, you know, I can't believe he's gone. And then Superman just fucking sits up. He just sits up, and he clears his throat, and he's like, actually, I'm pretty good. There's an episode where they're meeting this guy. They're having to deal with this guy who's really into the occult.
Uh-huh.
And his dude's real name is Chilton Bone.
All
Chilton
right.
Bone, keep that in mind, because his supervillain name is Bone Chill.
Right.
He He makes horror movie characters come to life. Like, he'll go to the drive-in and just make the Wolfman jump off the screen and start attacking people.
Oh, man. Does it, is it only limited to horror movies, though?
It's, well, let's see. He uses the Blob.
Yeah.
He uses mummies. I'm pretty sure he's just...
His powers, they only limited... Because I'm imagining him going to, like, a drive-in and thinking it's a horror feature, but it's like, look who's talking. So just this John Travolta comes out of the screen.
That would be scary, too. But Superman saves a couple of teenagers from one of the things at the drive-in, and he's like, next time, see a romantic comedy. And then he flies off. This show is so funny, and I'm pretty sure it's unintentional, but I don't care. It also is noteworthy for the first animated appearance post Super Friends of Wonder Woman. So this is after they've given her the reboot from Crisis on Infinite Earths and all that stuff. So this is the George Perez version of Wonder Woman. She has a whole episode that she partners up with Superman.
Nice.
It's pretty good. Lois is super fucking jealous. It's great. fun story. The villain in that one, Cyrene, the Sorceress of Time. She can call these monsters out of different eras. And at one point, she's got Lois kidnapped, and she's got Lois tied to a chair, and she summons this Cyclops. And this is perfect. This is like a 10-foot-tall Cyclops. And Lois, tied to the chair, mind you, just stands up, still tied to the chair, and just starts walking backward. She's like, I'm getting out of here. And she ends up getting away from the chair, and literally, she just leaves. She just, like, goes to the nearest door and opens it and walks out, and the Cyclops stands there, and it looks confused. And I'm not sure if that was intentional or not, but that was brilliant. Because that's what I would do in that situation. Like, nope, you know what? I don't need this. And she just leaves.
No. I'm gonna take my chair and I'm going to leave.
I'm just gone. Now, each episode is bookended with something called the Superman Family Album. This is where it gets into kind of like cheesy kids cartoon stuff. Not that the other part wasn't cheesy kids cartoon. But like... We get to see Clark growing up, like when he's a baby and they're trying to adopt him out. Because the Kents, they do the thing they did in the Golden Age comics. They took him to an orphanage and they're like, we found a kid.
Yeah.
So do something about it. And everyone that tries to adopt this baby deals with the fact that this baby has superpowers. Complete with one time he flies away from the nursery and brings a lion back to his bedroom because he likes kitties.
He likes kitties.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite of these, though, has to be the first date where it's back in high school, Clark and Lana going on their first date. The truck breaks down, so he fixes it up, yada, yada, yada. They go to a diner, and he's so freaking nervous about his first date that, like, he goes to open the door for Lana and literally rips it right off the hinge. Lana does not know about Clark's abilities.
Oh, of course not. No.
Rips it right off. And she's like, does that happen very often? He's like, yeah, it's an old truck. And so he just slams it back on like nothing happened. They're in the diner. She's trying to get ketchup out of a bottle. He says, I'll help. She asks if he's nervous. And he shoots ketchup in what has got to be intentional by the animators.
Oh, God.
This has to be intentional.
Oh,
right after she says, are you nervous? He's got the ketchup bottle in like a 45-degree angle from about his waist.
Yeah.
And the ketchup shoots over her head and lands like two booths down on some guy's hot dog. Yeah. It's campy. It's a product of its time, which is 1988, but, you know...
My only memory of this is one of those bookend family album things. And was there one where Ma Kent had baby Clark in a grocery store or something?
Yes.
That is the only thing I have the vaguest recollection of.
Yeah, that one was called The Supermarket.
I remember seeing that as it aired on television. So I saw this show back in 88.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. A couple more bits of trivia, and then that's pretty much all of the setup, because we were already almost at 15 minutes. The series, if you watch the beginning, it actually uses a reorchestrated version of the John Williams theme.
Really?
Yes. But the opening sequence also has the same narration from the 1950s Adventures of Superman television show, like with George Reeves.
Nice.
And the narrator is the one from Super Friends. So, you know, yes, Superman. You know, that guy. It's such strange to me that I know it ran only one season, only 13 episodes, because it was a special kind of commemorative thing. But it's strange to me that this show is kind of forgotten about, because there's so many wonderful, maybe terrible, but otherwise memorable things about this show.
Oh. So what you're saying is the next time we get together, I need to borrow this.
You are absolutely borrowing it. So, yeah, if you weren't familiar with it, look it up. I think it's actually on HBO Max.
Oh, sweet.
I think it is. So
I know what I'm doing tonight.
it's so cool to kind of see this little bit of history, because there's a cyborg villain. I forget his name. He's supposed to be kind of like a fill in for Brainiac. But true story, DC didn't know what they wanted Brainiac to look like yet. So they just renamed this guy.
Okay.
It's like Cryon or something like that.
Cool.
But my gosh. Yeah, it's just this weird little footnote in super history. And I love it.
That's awesome.
We're going to have to pull the clip like a roided out Kermit. That'll be what we use to promote this on social media, folks. You heard it here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing, Darren. I love that.
Yes, yes, yes. So next month, I reckon it's only fair if you share something for week 3.
Yeah, I'll come up with something.
All right. Well, hey, everybody, be sure to check out our other shows. You Want Me to Watch What? And Retromantics and Geek Cave Plays on YouTube, as well as, you know, the thing that doesn't pay any of the bills, but we like to hang our hats on, the Geek Cave Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. See, we don't know how to end the show, so we'll just say bye.
Bye.